Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Football Sunday here on WEEI. Christian Arkin, Megan Ottolini, Chris Scheim, and of course Ted Johnson. And DJ Bossman Laird back there on the ones and twos.
Spinning it.
Fist pumping like DJ Pauly D in the background. We have a lot to get to here as the Patriots and the Raiders will be kicking off in about 2 hours from Gillette Stadium. It is the week one matchup, the beginning of football here in New England on a rainy, rainy, nasty day. It is, I don't know, I may be looking at the under with hard eyes right
yeah,
now.
100%.
Scheim, with this weather we're seeing.
I'm totally with you.
And that is the voice of Chris Scheim, and you hear him every morning on the Greg Hill Show, and you hear this as well. They said it.
It's time for...
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
I just hope we can win a game.
But they are who we thought they were.
They said it.
And we let them off the hook.
Football Sunday edition.
36 counter naked waggle at 7.
I'm just going to say it.
WEEI.
Well, it's time for They Said It here on Football Sunday. Let's begin with New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel. He met with the media this week, and the big talker, Christian Gonzalez. He is now officially out for this game, but his injury status had been a question all week. Kind of got a bit snippy with media, and of course it was Ben Volen that asked the question that Vrabel ended up getting really upset about. Here was Mike Vrabel earlier this week.
Are we expecting to have Christian out there, and if not, is it safe to say... like we won't be available?
Well, I wouldn't say that. He's continuing to work, and he'll do, you know, some stuff on the side, but I'm not going to rule anybody out. Stacey just made an announcement about the injury report, so we'll continue to work and treat and make sure that we're doing everything and that we can to help him, and he's doing everything he can to get back out on the field. That's the only update I have right now.
You won't see him today, or?
Didn't sound like it.
Avoid the IR? Is that a possibility?
Oh, no. I just won't be out there today, Mark. Can't tell you much other than that.
Mike, the initial reports, and I know that didn't come from you, but the initial reports...
Yeah, please, guys. I mean, we have... This is the first Wednesday of the season, and he's not going to be at practice. And just please use your time as efficiently as we can about our team, about the Raiders. And I know Christian is a large part of our team, but he's not going to be out there today, so that's all I can update.
Mike Vrabel has been very, very sensitive about the Christian Gonzalez topic, frustrated at times. I don't know exactly. I still believe it's just because of the hamstring, just like Mego, but some people will still continue to believe that it's a contract dispute.
Well, it's how he's handling the hamstring. Maybe maybe he's not happy with. The treatment of it or the progress of it that's the tough thing is you've got to, you can't see the injury. So you got to take the player's word for it. So maybe there's a distrust in how he should be out there. And the reason he's not, so it's
why would it bother Mike Vrabel so much to get questions about? Because then you don't have to answer questions about other stuff. You know, it's like, so what do you care? Like, you know, it's only so much time.
But he's been very consistent though. Going back to the Jalen Polk thing about the Rats, he doesn't like talking about the injury status of the players. Stephon Diggs, when he sat down,
that's what I'm trying to figure out, Mago. It's an excellent point.
When he sat down with Diana Rossini, he says, you know, hey, coach says don't talk about injuries. Don't talk about your own injury. And that is with Mike Vrabel. That is an underlying thing that we are learning very quickly about him in New England. He doesn't want to talk about his player status or what's going on with
them. You can almost point to all of his little kind of issues with the media have been around players' health and their injury status. And you know, it's funny. We go to the Jalen Polk one that highlights kind of his Rat comment, and you think, Why is Mike so upset? If I'm Jalen Polk, I want information out there. You ever notice, like, the Bruins always tell you their injuries at the end of the year. For a player, they want the media or the fans to know that what they're dealing with so that fans go, oh, he's hurt. He can't be out there, as opposed to it's something else. So it's just an interesting kind of thing that he gets upset about, because I would think he would, being a former player, that he would understand why that information getting out, it benefits the player. It really does. Right. Maybe not the team, but it benefits the player. That's what I think.
People have suggested in the past that perhaps we don't understand Mike Vrabel's sense of humor. Is this people not getting his sense of humor, or is he just being sensitive?
No. I think he's showing you a little bit of his sensitivity to it. So that's, I think we all got a pretty good idea of what Mike is.
Well, one of the other players that has been recovering from injury and should make his debut as a New England Patriot today would be Stephon Diggs. He talked about the offense, and then Drake May also weighed in on Stephon Diggs. Here was that from this week.
Obviously, I think it was some concerns in around OTAs and stuff like that. You know, people were talking about the playbook and stuff, but like I said, it's like my 11th year. I think steady in and things get tedious, but if you dedicate your time to it, it'll start coming full circle. I mean, people don't factor in, kind of look at it as like kind of like school. You know, it's easy to be in the classroom. Like many of us have taken tests right before the test, study a little bit, go ace it, but you got to factor in going outside, getting tired, running routes, and, you know, being mentally sharp. So for me, I mean, I feel 100% confident. You can't never get too confident or too complacent. You got to continue to flip those pages and, you know, kind of stay sharp. Like, so don't get too, you know, don't ever get too comfortable. I'm all right.
Yeah, it's been awesome to bond with such a, you know, high-level player. I think it's, you know, you continue to show it as the game, you know, game week and game day comes closer and closer to kind of how much he's elevating his game and, you know, elevating his practice style. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting out there with him on Sunday, and I think you'll see, you know, good energy from.
I know it's a rainy day out here today, so expectations may be a little bit lower today than they would have been in the passing game. But overall for the season, how do we feel about Stephon Diggs? What are our expectations for the new Patriots receiver?
Well, I'll say I asked that question to Diggs because just a couple weeks before. Yeah, I was very excited that you picked that one. But because a couple weeks before I talked to Todd Downing, the wide receivers coach, and one of the things that he said was the thing with Diggs is he's got to know what the coach and what the quarterback expects, and kind of said like he's got to know the playbook.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on, wait, what? And I'm paraphrasing there, but I think with Diggs, it'll be all about where he fits in Josh McDaniels' scheme. And I'm not sure that it's totally obvious yet, partly because we haven't seen him in the preseason games, but he's not somebody who you can pencil in like Hunter Henry and say, that's definitely like a red zone threat, or somebody like Pop Douglas, who you're like, yeah, he plays purely, mostly in the slot, and he's going to help you move the chains down the field. It's very curious to me what Stephon's going to be on top of what his actual production ability is going to be.
My hope is that he's at least in the top two leading receivers. I feel like DeMario Douglas is going to probably lead the team.
If he's not, that's a pretty big whiff in free agency, wouldn't you say? I mean, if he's not one of your top two receivers on this team.
And he's healthy the whole season? Yeah, I would say so. So to me, I expect him to have a productive year. And we will see. Can he be a good influence? Here's the thing. Historically, when he doesn't get the ball or he's not highlighted in game plans, he kind of sucks his thumb and it can create problems. The thing is, Josh McDaniels likes to highlight different guys different weeks.
Yep.
He doesn't have the same game plan week in, week out.
Depends on the matchup.
It depends on the matchup. So there's going to be games in which they don't even look to Steph Diggs. Is he going to still stay engaged? Is he going to be able to play hard enough to draw double teams so that other guys can open up? Because that's really what Josh McDaniels wants. I worry about that dynamic, about the two of them working out well together because of that. And so I'm I'm nervous about that more than anything, is that him just staying engaged all season long with an offensive coordinator who does not want to play favorites and wants to highlight a different guy week to week. Will he be okay with that setup?
Engagement, I think, is the right word. Especially, I mean, you look at last year with the Houston Texans. In only 8 games, he had just about 500 yards and 3 touchdowns. 500 yards would have put him 4th on this team. He only played half the season. Yeah. So, like, you should expect double that, right around 1,000 yards, hopefully, as long as he stays engaged.
No more Hunter Henry leading the team in the receiving yards. Please. Yes, please.
He's not Brock Bowers.
He's definitely not Brock.
Low key, I do want to say I think people are sleeping a little bit on Mac Hollins. I think because we looked at Mac Hollins' numbers last year with the Bills, and we know that he's probably going to be used in a similar fashion. Mac Hollins' best year came with Josh McDaniels and the Raiders. Mm. And look, I'm not talking like he's going to have 800 yards, but
he did have 700 that season.
I think he's going to be a little bit more useful than some of us might expect.
He had 31 catches last year, 5 touchdowns. So that ratio is pretty damn good there, right?
Every 6 catches, he's getting
look for Mac Hollins in the red zone. I think that's where he'll make
big target.
So he doesn't have to have as many, but go catch those touchdowns passes from Drake May, and I'll be happy with it. I'm with you, Mago. I think he's going to be better than people expect.
I also think just from a scheme perspective, it allows McDaniels to kind of play around more with where he positions Steph Diggs on the field. It doesn't require Steph Diggs to play split out wide. He can play more in the slot just because you have that big body receiver in Mac Hollins to play out wide. Let's go do some semi-Patriot news here. One of the big stories from the week was Bill Belichick. It came out that Bill Belichick is not allowing Patriots scouts in the building. Well, he got a strong win over Charlotte yesterday and then spoke after the game.
Almost scored 21 points.
Almost. He talked after the game about why he won't let Patriot scouts in the building.
This is away from the game, but we haven't heard from you yet on this. Obviously, reports this week of New England Patriots scouts being banned from practice. Just wanted to give you the opportunity to comment on that and provide some sort of explanation on that.
Yeah, well, no, it's clear that I'm not welcome there around their facility, so I'm welcome in ours. Very simple.
Well, Ted, I'll let you go first here. Your reaction to Belichick's comments about not being welcome at the Patriots facility.
I'm a little bit surprised that Bill's showing his hand. Like, I mean, I know how Bill thinks, so I'm not surprised he thinks that. But the fact that he would tell you exactly how he thinks is what is the most surprising. And I don't know how you don't hear that. Did he come for Tom Brady's night? I mean, I don't know. I don't know why he would want to come back. And if he did come back, I don't know why they wouldn't let him come back. So I don't know. That's just a weird response.
Would he want to come to the facility? Like, what business does he have at the facility? Have business at the UNC facility if they want to scout a player, but why would Bill want to come here?
And he's saying that this is the 33rd NFL team, but you're not allowing one of the other NFL teams in the building to look at your players.
Yeah. It's very – I mean, that's Bill. I mean, it's very hypocritical, very petty, very vindictive. And so this is this isn't a surprise. The only surprise to me is that he's showing his hand and telling everybody how he thinks. He usually does not make that mistake.
I think it looks so selfish.
Super selfish.
It's just gross.
Yeah. That'll do it for They Said It today. Thank you very much for joining us. I believe now we have trending.
Yes, we do have trending. But first, Mago's going to be leaving, right? Mago's going to be leaving us because she's so
running
important.
Down to the game.
She's so busy and just can't be bothered to do the rest of the show.
You're so important.
So let's get some predictions, Mago, before you
I'll give you my game prediction. I think it is an extremely narrow win for the Patriots.
Okay.
I think that it's Josh McDaniels and Mike Vrabel are going to be a big piece of why they're able to win what's going to essentially be a chess match, but a very wet, gross chess match. I think it's going to be 21-20 Patriots. I think it's going to be relatively low scoring. As I said earlier, I think a lot of it is going to come down to the running game and what the Patriots can do to stop Ashton Jeanty. And I think that they got a little bit lucky, if you want to look on the bright side, that this is the game that Christian Gonzalez is not playing. Hopefully he comes back soon, but this is one that I think maybe it at least takes a little bit off the secondary having to perform so much.
Sure. I think you're optimistic to say this is the game that Christian Gonzalez isn't going to play.
Yeah,
hopefully you're right.
True. This is true.
I guess we'll see. All right, Mago, goodbye. Happy
Bye,
trails.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
What is this team at four wins last year under Gerard Mayo? What's a reasonable expectation when it comes to wins for Mike Vrabel?
You know what? They had 8 wins combined last 2 years, and they've been horrible ever since Tom Brady left. I would say 9 wins, and I do have them winning a wild card this year.
Boomer Esiason, who you may have heard on this station right before the show started, him and Valente giving their picks. That whole show is just like an hour of picks. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Every time I'm driving here, it's just picks the whole show.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Picks and analysis, Arkin.
Well, there's a little analysis. It's supposed to just pick. I mean, that's all they do. It's just like, all right, let's go to this game. All right, next game. Boomer, what do you think? That's the whole show.
Well, yeah. I mean, this you got to get around the entire
this show's
slate.
Way better than that.
Well, yeah, because we're Patriots focused. Yeah, we're like locked
way,
in.
Way more, much more diverse, way more focused. It's just, it's
we
a
also
total...
have Ted Johnson. They have Boomer Esiason.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You ever tackle a Boomer?
You know what? Never. He was before my time. I'm not that old, buddy. I'm old, but I'm not that old.
You
man.
Didn't overlap at the end with the Jets at the end.
Love,
right?
Sean, yeah,
I got
sure.
you. You're not getting Greyhound tickets to go back to a Ring of Fame thing.
My man, thank you.
No, no, we're not. Let's for a moment here, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because it's very painful. Let's talk about last season because this is now the Mike Vrabel era. There's a lot of new players. There's not a lot of carryover. They made a very sincere point of trying to flush out a lot of what. If you want to say bad contracts, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of them were. Some of them are still here, and they tried to trade some of these guys and weren't able to. Some very surprise cuts towards the end. I think all of that was done in an effort to try and really paint over and spackle over what was an awful 2 seasons. And that, I think, is something they've accomplished, to be sure. But as far as last season, like, What was the one point of last year, or was there a point last year where you guys sort of realized, like, oh, God, it's going to be this again, and this might be as bad as we've seen since Rod Rust?
It was early for me. I mean, the first 2 games, okay, you know, and then it happened pretty quick.
First game was great.
The first game was great. And even the second game, you thought, okay, they lost, but it was
competitive.
I never felt real good, I'll be honest with you, that whole season. I just didn't feel like the team was fully bought in. I didn't like that they didn't have a quarterback competition. I didn't like that they shelved Drake May to start the season. And then when they did put him out there, I feel like they didn't take the governor off of them, and they handcuffed them in a lot of respects. I thought the defense couldn't stop the run. They couldn't get to the quarterback. So, I mean,
that was
just
a big one to me. Like,
go ahead.
I watched this season, and I always had hope because I knew Drake May was around the corner. And then he comes in against Houston, and they lose big. But then it was really that Jacksonville game the next week where I'm like, all right, let's go. This is Drake May's real first opportunity for a win. And they had, what was it, 19 straight running plays? I'm like, okay, this team is dead in the water. I need to just look forward to 2025.
It frustrated me how they handled a lot of the end of half. I can't wait to see an offense actually take the last possession before the end of the first half. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, can we see that? That would be great. And just to give people kind of a and then we're overlooking the offensive line, which was atrocious all year last year. But let's just see where the Patriots – let's remind people where they were last year as far as defensive and offensive rankings, so we can, hopefully see an improvement this year, which you can't really get much worse than they were. So on offense, I'm going to give you a few of these key categories. The offense last year for the Patriots ranked 29th in third down efficiency. The offense ranked 29th in red zone efficiency last year. The offense ranked 31st in yards per game. The offense ranked 31st in passing touchdowns thrown, only 18. The offense ranked 30th in points per game, only 17 per game. The offense ranked 32nd in EPA per play last year. The best thing the offense did last year was they ranked 13th in rushing yards per game at 186. And then the last one, the offense ranked 32nd in passing yards per game. So
that high, huh?
Everything was horrible. And so that was the offense. Bad. I mean, 30 and 32nd almost in every. And then the defense, quickly, they ranked 26th in third down defense.
Disgusting.
And 16th in red zone efficiency. Red zone and third down are two big categories for me. You guys are going to learn that from me. That is, those are situations that I take very, very serious. And they were terrible from an offensively and defensive standpoint. The two big highlights on defense last year, dead last in sacks, and they were 29th in pressure rate. They got to get pressure on the quarterback. They haven't had a good defensive line, a good defensive front here in a long time. You hope with the addition of Milton Williams and Christian Barmore getting healthy that that changes. But more pressure is needed, and just they got to do everything better on offense because they were pretty much last in every category.
There was a stretch in the Houston game when I realized this team's in trouble. This team's not going anywhere. This team's done. And it was after, I think, the first half. I just pulled up the game right now just to remember because it was 14-7 at the half.
Yep.
Patriots come out with the ball. Drake May gets sacked and fumbles. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson were all over him in that game. Anderson, I think, had three sacks in that game. They give the ball back. Houston scores. They get it back. Punt. Three and out. Houston gets it back. Field goal. Patriots get it back, and they fumble again. And that's when I was like, all right. This. I'm starting to think maybe I know Houston's
bad.
Good and they were supposed to be this great team. They weren't a great team last year, but they were supposed to be. And so you expected that was going to be a loss. But I just remember that sequence going, okay, and this is with the kid in now. This is with the savior in now. It was his first start, I think. And I just that's when I sort of looked at it and thought, okay, this is going to be a real, real tough year. And it was. It was a very, very tough year. And it's a new day now and a whole new way of going about things. I think that when you look at the additions that were made on the defense, and this sort of goes back to my initial narrative, which is the defense should really be more of a story than it's been. I think that what they invested in this defense, what they invested in the front seven, which isn't as exciting as, you know, getting a bunch of new receivers and a new offensive line and all that stuff, but what they invested in it and how that was emphasized so thoroughly during free agency should really be a bigger story. Like, I almost feel like that should be the barometer of success for this season is how does the defense look? Like, are they living up to what was invested in them?
Yeah, to me, they need to be in the top half of the league. They should be right around that 10-ish spot, anywhere from like 9 to 12. And then I think in a best-case scenario, you're in that top 7 range. But, like, you have to be a top half of the league defense this year with how much money you invested there compared to on offense. I understand the depth isn't great. Like, if Spillane goes down, the middle of the field becomes a massive, massive question mark. But if that defense remains healthy, you need to be in the top half of the league.
They got about 7 new starters on that side, maybe even 8. And so a lot of new faces, a new system. And the biggest concern for me is what Shime just said, the depth. If they get hurt in any position, they just are thin across the board. And what I thought was a strength, the secondary, what's happened the last couple weeks with Peppers getting released and Kyle Duggar, being a backup, you start to question that Christian Gonzalez injury. So now I'm worried about the secondary. But the defense, to me, if they're healthy and they play up to their abilities, they're a better than average defense. They are, to me, they're a top 12, maybe top 10 defense, but that's if they stay healthy.
For more on that, let us welcome in our good friend from NBC Sports Boston and someone who we'll be talking to every single Sunday for the entirety of this season. I'm talking, of course, about the great Tom E. Curran, who joins us here on our maiden voyage of WEEI Football Sunday, or the latest version of it, I should say. He's been a mainstay on the show for many, many years. Tommy, welcome. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Christian? Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
It's great to have you. Always great to have you, and always great to get your insights on what has been a pretty interesting offseason into preseason, into training camp, and so forth. Let's just start with a general consensus kind of recap of it. Would you say that since everybody started going out onto that practice field all the way up until today, would you grade it as a positive or a negative preseason training camp experience?
Oh, I think it's by far a positive. You know, I think a lot of it is based on intangibles, too. Organization, unity of purpose, pretty much drama-free when you consider the first year under Gerard Mayo, only year under Gerard Mayo. There was a lot of chaos that went on around the team and a lot of different masters being served, it seemed, with individual players. And also with the team just trying to talk about building a foundation, keeping one foot in the past and honoring its history and what they were about under Bill. This year, it's kind of been a new broom sweeps clean, and I do very much feel like the improvement expected and hoped for from Drake May has been seen. There's certainly not been perfection from him. The improvement of the offense has been seen in practices, in joint practices, in preseason games. Again, nothing ridiculous, but just competency. And I think that's the main thing that we're seeing right now is a level of competency. One of the things that I think is underrated is – Ted just alluded to it, the newness of the people who are involved, the turnover that has existed, and the fact that when we really understand, and we all do, and look at something, you don't wave a wand in the NFL and just put a bunch of guys on the field who happen to make big money and have them work well together. And I think there's a big learning curve on defense that we haven't given enough credit to that has to be conquered. It will come. But until that front four of, like, for instance, Landry, Barmore, Milton Williams, and Caleb on Chase on, guys who, you know, could have been just introducing themselves to each other a few months ago, until they know each other inside and out, it's going to take a minute.
Tommy, we just got the Patriots inactives for this game about 30 seconds ago. They are Christian Gonzalez, Charles Woods, the other defensive back, guard Caden Wallace, linebacker Anthony Jennings, wideout Efton Chisholm. Mego's going to be sad about that. Eric Gregory, nose tackle, and third string QB Tommy DeVito. Those are your inactives. Any surprises there?
Jennings would be a surprise to me. He's a productive player. I've said this throughout camp. They did try to deal him. But it's amazing that he is not one of the best 45 players to get on the field and play for you. It's eye-popping. He's a productive guy. He's a strong guy. He's still in his prime. So I guess that brings us to the question of what will this defense look like if Anthony Jennings can't play in it? How will they perform, and out of what scheme will Terrell Williams have them coming? We know it's going to be violent. We know it's going to be aggressive. What difference does that make for them?
Tom, you already touched on it. To me, the biggest story, you know, obviously in this game is just what does Drake May look like under a Josh McDaniels kind of offense? And I'm thinking that he's going to be throttled back a little bit, managed a little bit more to not turn the ball over as much as he did last year. Shime seems to think that maybe they need to take the governor off and let him cook. How do you see Josh McDaniels calling this game, and how do you see Drake May playing in a Josh McDaniels offense to start the year?
If the Patriots want to take advantage of bad football, and Mike Vrabel wasn't sure when he got here if they were able to do that, they can't play it themselves. And I think that Drake will be in a position where he has to earn the trust of Josh. Now, I'm going to say he's going to have the bumpers on the gutters so he doesn't throw any gutter balls, but I think that short throws to get him over that early game angst that even May has admitted to, rely on the running game, rely on a lot of play action to get him some easy open throws. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a couple of plays. We've always seen this with Josh. We go, holy crap, that guy's open by 15 yards. Does May put it on him? Does May hit DeMario Douglas in stride at chest height? Or does he have to make a leaping catch? Those things will matter to me. But I do think that the Patriots and Josh, he's a very cautious guy, Ted. Mm-hmm. You know him well. He worries. And I'm sure that he would worry today about what can go wrong if I try and do too much with this kid. So even when Brady was here, it used to drive me bananas how long Josh and Tom would seem to spend getting used to the water on the first few drives of the game.
I would expect to see some of the same today.
Tom, we're talking about the offense. We have the three running backs for this team. What do you expect the rotation of these running backs to look like? And is there a chance, being the rainy conditions, that if Ramondre puts it on the turf, Travion Henderson immediately jumps to number one on the depth chart?
Depends what that fumble looks like. So to me, I would think Ramondre Stevenson is going to be the lead back. He's a good running back. He's a good first and second down running back. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's explosive after contact. We just haven't seen contact come far enough downfield in the last few years. Additionally, I think that you want to try and neutralize Max Crosby by maybe going at him, Ted, a little bit.
Yep.
So to me, run the ball at him with Ramondre Stevenson. So I would think Stevenson will be the first guy to see touches. I would imagine that there certainly should be 5 to 6 if there's that many carries for the offense to go around for Antonio Gibson, and then plenty for Travion Henderson, because as we know, anytime the Patriots play a Pete Carroll cover three defense that we've seen, whether it's Carroll or Dan Quinn or Gus Bradley, the running back feasting in the middle of the field, whether it's Shane Vereen or James White, it eventually happens. So can Travion Henderson be that player who ends up with friggin' 12 targets out of the chutes? Maybe it could.
Is Pete Carroll the man to take the Raiders to wherever it is that they want to go, Tommy? I think that was a big question with Belichick during the last hiring cycle. Why would you hire a coach that's so old, especially with a team that may be looking to rebuild? Pete Carroll on the Raiders, what's your impressions of him in 2025?
He's stabilizing, you know, same way Vrabel is stabilizing. And it is funny, Ted and I can look back 28 years and see that Pete didn't stabilize a Patriots team mm-hmm. when he was a much younger guy. But mm-hmm. he understands how to run a program. He understands how to tap into guys. I spoke to JT the Brick, who does their pre and post game out there, and he talked about how everything has been about competition. And that's something that Pete really learned at USC, was to make sure that everything is competed for. So can he bring them where they want to get, which would probably be to the Final Four, best teams, be an elite team? I don't know if he's got that long. But to me, you can look at both of these teams are striving for the same thing. Can we get to mediocre? Can we sniff around mediocre? Can we be a team that's in the playoff picture, you know, with 5 shopping days till Christmas? That's what they want to be, and I think that Pete could do that.
Tom, you know, it's been for 20 years, the franchise had an identity. It was a professional ecosystem for a long, long time. It hasn't been that way recently. Do you think that the franchise with the Vrabel coach and you know, the Drake May at quarterback, they can kind of find an identity? Do you think they're creating an identity, and do you think they can get that kind of ecosystem back up and running like it was, 5 years ago?
Yeah, I think they definitely can. I think that they can, because they have young players, and I think that because Vrabel has really made what seems to be a concerted effort to move on from players who we thought might be useful, he really wants to instill something. So it's the same house, totally redesigned. And I think we could agree that the ecosystem probably peaked around 2016 for the Patriots. And then the ecosystem, there were areas within said ecosystem that, while it looked great on the outside, there was fungus growing that would one day overtake the entire, you know, ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And so they needed to, I guess, to an extent, and this probably existed with Gerard last year, you know, you tried to put a Band-Aid on a situation and hope that the wound would heal, but there was just too much bacteria in there. The pathogens, I'm really getting down to deep into the medical stuff, huh?
Tom.
So, but that's, to me, I think they've tried to really fix that.
Tom, is there any concern with special teams at all? Especially, I look at the kicker, warm weather guy, in the rain. It's going to get cold here eventually in New England. Is there any concern here that we could see a bit of a disaster on special teams for the Patriots to start the season?
Yeah, the kicker definitely concerns me. I'm not over the moon about spending a draft pick on him. I don't think that he beat Parker Romo in training camp, and he's going to be kicking in the elements today, and I don't think that he built a huge resume of confidence-building kicks in the preseason. Other than that, though, I think that the coverage and return teams are very good, and I think that the fact that there's the rule change to bring the ball back to the 35 now instead of the 30 on a touchback on kickoffs means that more
kickoffs will be returned. 35 is, you know, 25 yards with a good kicker from field goal range. So the Patriots had Travion Henderson out there. They had Antonio Gibson out there. I'll be curious to see whether those guys get reps today, because I do believe that the kickoff is a potential scoring play.
We're talking with Tommy Kern here on WEEI Football Sunday. Tom, Will Campbell not on the list of inactives. He will be active today. He will be out there, considering the fact that he had sort of an uneven, maybe up and down camp would be a nice way of saying it, and the fact that he's trying to come back from this injury, or maybe has come back from this injury. What do you expect to see from him today?
I think he'll be a good player, and I don't think that he had, and I'm not being contrary to you, Christian, I just think his downs were overstated. Okay. I think overwhelmingly he was a positive add to the left side of their offensive line. Was he everything you could have hoped for and more as the number four pick? No, but has it stabilized the left side of the offensive line to a point where you're not going to sit there and go, my God, what's going to happen? Could be anything over there. It should be stable. I would think that they would be more comfortable running behind him than setting him up in pass protection 35 times, especially with an ankle on a slick turf with an extremely violent, quick, and aggressive player in Max Crosby potentially lining up from him a bunch of times. You can predict where you're going to go when you're run blocking. You are. It's less predictable when you are in retreat and trying to deal with pass rush moves.
Tom, I'm curious what you're expecting from Steph Diggs. Did not see much of him in training camp. You know, had a little dust up there this past week. You know, did a little bit of drama, but that comes with the territory. What are you expecting from Steph today and for the season?
Really curious to see if we're going to follow here with Josh McDaniels a keep it under wraps, unload in the first week type recipe, mm-hmm. where he sees 6, 8, 10 targets and is widely featured. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if that happened. So I expect him to be a productive receiver. He's good. He's fast. He's the only guy who compared to him in terms of foot speed and change of direction when we watched, and this was when he still had the ACL and hadn't even been really cleared for everything. The only guy who compared to him was Efton Chisholm, who is down today, as you guys mentioned, but I think he'll be a good player for them. I was a little bit concerned with his hands at different junctures, not a crap load of drops, but enough for you to go, oh, I thought he would have had that. So hopefully he's looking the ball in and plays with composure today if you're a Patriots fan.
Tommy Kern, great to talk with you as always. We look forward to these conversations all season long. Great stuff as always, sir.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye, buddy. Have a great time. Enjoy the game.
All right. That is Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Football Sunday. Coming up next, I know we've all been waiting for this. I mean, really, it's nice to talk with Tommy Kern. It's good to go into the locker room and all of that. But we've been waiting all week for Wiggy's keys. And when we come back, Jermaine Wiggins will give you three keys to the game. And we're not going to predict them ahead of time. We're not going to do that this year.
No spoiling.
Even though we got very good at it last year, I think. But we will hear from Wiggy Classless. Right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
They are in a Ziploc bag until game day.
Mm-hmm. Can we unpack this just for a minute?
I like that.
Turn down for what?
It's Will Campbell talking about his underoos.
you're too young to know what underoos. Do you know what underoos are?
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah.
I mean, they had basically...
It's like the first underwear a kid wears.
Underwear for all the different superheroes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I'll be honest, the first one I heard, it was just he wears the same underwear. I'm like, bro, really? But then when it's like Superman, it's like, if you feel like you get a little bit of energy and a little bit of a jolt from wearing your Superman underoos, mm-hmm. then my man, wear your Superman underoos.
It's a mental game, right?
It is. Yeah. It is.
100%.
And what's more mental than what's covering the most important part of you, you know?
It's true.
If you're not confident.
He did say, though, that they're, like, ripped to shreds. So, I mean, it's not really covering all that much.
It's true, yeah.
But he says he does also puts
it's like
over
a fig
it
leaf, you know?
Compression.
Like a loincloth.
I would worry about, if you're just wearing that, I'd be worried about the family jewels getting disrupted. But if he wears the compression over it, he's good. I'm not worried about it.
I love how he sounds like an old man, too, when he talks.
Oh, my God.
Like, he sounds like an old man in a rocking chair, like out in the bayou somewhere.
When he first came here, he's like, I didn't expect there to be so many trees.
I mean, he did say that, didn't he?
I've worn the same pair of underwear under my pants since sophomore year of high school.
My wife is making me another good pot of gumbo for later today.
He's like slowly plucking a banjo. You know?
No hurry to get his words out.
No, definitely not. All right. Speaking of people, this is the opposite of that. Someone who loves getting his words out. That would be our own Jermaine Wiggins, who you can hear every morning on the Greg Hill Show. You can also hear him every Sunday on WEEI Football Sunday as we present to you Wiggy's Keys.
It's hard for me to be wrong. This is what I would have did. Wiggy's Keys.
What up, your boy Wiggy here with my three keys to the game. Key number one, you got to make sure you're protecting Drake May. That goes with everybody on the offensive line, especially Will Campbell, left tackle, because you know what Max Crosby can do to a game.
Absolutely, you do, and that is a topic that we've hit on a few times so far over the course of this morning. The offensive line, Will Campbell will play today. He will be active. We'll see how many snaps he gets and how what percent available he is, but he is on the field and he is warming up, and he's not on the inactive list, so he will be out there. The offensive line, how are we all feeling about it today?
I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know what you think, Shine, but I'm a little bit nervous for that offensive line, particularly if we all think what's going to happen is going to happen, which they start two rookies on the left side. I just think you can game plan for that. You can get them in, if you can get them in third and long situations, you can really take advantage of that. The offensive line just has been an issue here for so long. It's got to be better than it was last year, because you can't get much worse, Shine. But it's a key concern for me, because Drake May's ability to make plays and the ability for the wide receivers to make plays, all predicated on how well the offensive line can block.
Yeah, all preseason I have been very concerned about the offensive line. It's been my number one concern with this football team. I think they're benefited by the rain today. I think that if there's one thing I feel very comfortable in, I know Will Campbell can run block. He's nasty. He'll tell you himself. Mm-hmm. He is nasty when it comes to run blocking. He's very good moving with the run, pulling, all that stuff. I feel very confident that he's going to be able to get downhill and
nasty.
Get to that second mm-hmm. level a lot. So if they focus on running the football today on a rainy day, I think the Patriots offensive line might be okay, but I am still hesitant to say that.
I'm kind of expecting the worst, I'll be honest with you, with this whole line. Just based off of what we saw
in
some of those preseason games, reports that we got from practices that I wasn't at or anything, but just, you know, the information that we got about this line certainly didn't set my toes a tapping here. Like that got me worried that it wouldn't be maybe as bad as last year, but not much better, and I was hoping for much better. So, yeah, that's a big key in this game, is how much better did this O-line get. All right, what's the next one, Wiggy?
Key number two, you got to be able to run the football, and I'm hoping they do that with Travion Henderson. The guy's explosive. He can do a lot of things, and he'll be an awesome weapon for them to help with setting up play action.
Travion Henderson, I think, was the best part of this preseason. I don't know if anybody was really even
close to him.
I thought he was the dynamic, and that first kick return was electric. And really, I don't know that anybody ever even really came close to touching that over the course of the next two preseason games or any of the joint practices or really anything at all. Travion Henderson is going to be one piece of this run game, along with Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson. How do you anticipate they'll be able to run on this Pete Carroll defense?
Well, I think they're going to be pretty good running the football, but I also think they're going to make some business with the screen game. I feel like the screen game is going to be a weapon with Travion Henderson out there. So that, to me, is going to be where he's impacted the most. And then don't forget, We had Jeremy Springer, the special teams coach, on the EEI Afternoons on Friday, and he talked about the Travion Henderson being a run, you know, being the kickoff returner.
Yeah,
he returned one in preseason for a touchdown. With the new rules, the way they are, the way the play is set up, they have running backs in that position more so than they ever had just pure returners like they have historically. Watch him being a factor maybe and perhaps in kickoffs like he was in the preseason.
Yeah, I hate to upset my guy Wiggy, though. As Tommy Curran told us when we just had him on not too long ago, it seems as though Ramondre Stevenson will be the number one back. He'll probably get the bulk of the touches. I think they will have packages like screens and some swing passes and some runs designed for Travion Henderson, but I don't think we'll see him quite as much as we would like today.
Let's look for third down situations. Watch if Travion Henderson is out there on third and three. Or more, that will be a telling thing because most rookie running backs aren't good at pass protection. He's excellent at it, and so he can pick up blitzes, and he can really be, I think, a guy that moves the chains on third down. So that's the key kind of down I want to see Travion Henderson in.
Key number three.
And key number three, get to Geno Smith. His inability to move around in the pocket will give you an opportunity to make some big plays when it comes to your defense and creating turnovers. Those are my keys. Wiggs out.
Thanks, Wiggs. How's the pass rush? How are we feeling about the pass rush today? I don't love this pass rush. I mean, the leading sacker, I think, had 6.5 last year.
Not great, Bob.
Not very good. A lot of new faces, a lot of new guys. Can they get to Geno today?
They better. They got a lot of money in that defensive line.
Sure
that's the position group that's probably getting paid the most. And so you're hoping that they're both at tackle positions, not edge rushers. So you're hoping Milton Williams and you're hoping Christian Barmore play up to what we think. I don't know. I think there'll be a question for me maybe coming down the road about the who's going to lead the team in sacks. Everyone's talking about Chasen being that guy. He's had double-digit sacks in three of his seasons. So we'll see there. But they have to get better at getting to the quarterback. Dead last in sacks last year, 29th last year in pressure rate. So please, yes, like Wiggy said, get to the quarterback. And you had Geno Smith. A little bit surprised. He's not the most mobile guy. 50 sacks last year. He was sacked 50 times last year.
Yeah, he can scoot, though, and he lit this defense up last year. Again, it's very different than it was last year, but, I mean, he had 327 yards on 44 attempts last year against the New England Patriots in week two. So you need to make sure you are pressuring him. Again, luckily, you're benefited by the rain. The passing attack may not be as aggressive as it otherwise would be, but you definitely need to get pressure on Geno today.
Final hour of WEEI Football Sunday coming your way in just a moment. We will have our top TED list, which is coming up at 12:20. We'll reset on the top stories of the day, and we will make our picks at the end of the show. That's all coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.